Today's daf is Moed Katan, daf Yud Aleph. We are holding on the top of daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Today is the last daf of the first parak of Masechet Moed Katan and the beginning of the second parak of Masechet Moed Katan. First, the Gemara is going to finish up the discussion of various things that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed in terms of what's called the Maisa Hedyot and what's called the Maisa Uman. Then we're going to have a Mishnah that discusses four different halachos: building a makkah, repairing cracks in an oven, fixing a doorway, and pickling food. The Gemara is going to ask a stira, whether you can use a hammer on Chol HaMoed or not, and it's going to have four different answers to that stira. Then the Gemara is going to have two versions of a story where Rava allowed doing something with fish that had ended up on shore from an overflowed river, and it's two versions of what exactly he permitted and why he permitted it. And the daf is going to, the parak rather, is going to end with four different statements of Rav relating to fish and eating fish, not necessarily about Chol HaMoed, just in general about fish, once we talk about fish as it relates to Chol HaMoed. Then the next parak is going to start with a Mishnah about what to do when you have olives that are prepared for pressing, and then something happens before Yontif where you couldn't press the olives before Yontif. Are you allowed to do anything to salvage them on Yontif itself, on Chol HaMoed itself? And there's going to be a machlokas that's going to lead to a machlokas whether an avel is allowed to do the initial pressing of the olives after they've already been prepared, and then he became an avel, and he was unable to finish the job before becoming an avel. And we're going to have a lot of discussion about an avel, what an avel is and is not allowed to do, whether he's allowed to do malacha when he's the only one who can do it, when the community needs him. And so most of Avon Beis is going to be more about an avel than it is about Chol HaMoed. But of course, most of the halachas of avelus in this Masechta are much later on in the Masechta, but that's where we at least have a little bit in today's daf. So we already got to daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We are three lines in on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Rav, the last one line is Rav. Rav shara l'chia barashi l'migdal o'ari b'chala d'moada. Rav allowed chia barashi to make fish traps on Chol HaMoed to go fishing with. My taima, my sahediotu, because making these traps apparently is fairly simple. You don't need any level of expertise. It's a my sahediot, and therefore he allowed it. Aval izli aser. But to make nets to catch birds, he held was aser. My taima, my su'umanhu. Because apparently making the nets that you would catch birds with is a maisa uman. That takes more work than, that takes more expertise rather than making traps for fish. Magen Avram in Tafkuf Mem Alf and Shulchan Aruch asks why it is that it's aser to make the matsudos dug in the that are made from chutim, that mishum maisa uman seidas dugim is machshirei ochel nefesh, meaning those the way he understands it is the isli aser is davdafke isli. I mean, obviously it's not only bird traps and bird nets, but it's nets that would catch fish would also be a problem if it were Maisa Uman. But he says, wait a second, why should Maisa Uman be a problem when you're using it to catch food, when you're using it to catch that which you're going to be able to eat? That's Makhshirei Ochel Nefesh. We allow even Maisa Uman for Makhshirei Ochel Nefesh. So the Magen Avraham is Mechalik between different types of Makhshirin. He says Makhshirei Ochel Nefesh is when you have an oven where you bake it, the food becomes roi for achila, or you do something to food that's going to make it roi la'achila. You have a sakin that's going to make the food roi la'achila de shchita, or something like that. But trapping the food is just gathering it. That's not actually doing anything to make it roi la'achila. So he thought that's not considered machshirin. That's a step removed from machshirin, or not as significant an act as normal machshirin. And therefore, maisa uman would not be permitted for something like trapping food. Rav Yehuda, back in the Gemara, Rav Yehuda shara la'ami tanura l'migdal tanuri. Rav Yehuda permitted Ami the oven maker to make ovens on Chol HaMoed, or Rav Barasavi l'migdal mahulta to make sieves on Chol HaMoed. So, fracting Gemara, Eini v'atani Rabba bar Shmuel v'shavin she'ein golden tanur l'chadchila. Doesn't everyone agree you're not allowed to make an oven l'chadchila on Chol HaMoed? So, lo kasha, can be mosa chama, can be mosa geshamim. It depends on the season of the year that you're making the oven. Why should it depend on the season of the year? Oven making seems to be the same no matter when during the year you're making it. And also, what do you mean? Can be mosa chama, can be mosa geshamim. We're talking about Chol HaMoed. Both there are only two times the Chol HaMoed happens in the year, and neither of them are in Yemos HaChama nor in Yemos HaGeshamim. They both one is in spring and one is in fall. You don't have them in Yemos HaChama or Yemos HaGeshamim. So Rashi answers both of those problems. Rashi points out Yemos HaChama Kolomar Kisheyesh Yemos HaChama Kigon BePesach the Chivu BeAlma Shein Yarden BoGeshamim where it's not rainy still on Pesach. On Pesach the rain has already stopped in Eretz Yisrael. So then because since it doesn't rain, the oven that you make will dry out more quickly and be ready for use more quickly, and therefore if you're making it on Chol HaMoed, you actually have a chance that you're going to be able to use it on Yantif. So that's considered Tzarech HaMoed, that's considered Tzarech HaRegel, because there's a decent chance that you'll be able to use it on Yantif. But Kan B'Yemos HaGeshamim means in a season where it might still be raining, like in Sukkos, so you can't make a Tanur because it's not going to dry out immediately since it's wet outside. So the chances are that you're not going to be able to use it until after Yantif, and therefore there's no Tzarech HaMoed. That's how Rashi understands the answer, Kan B'Yemos HaCham, Kan B'Yemos HaGeshamim. What it really means is that when the oven stands a chance to be used, a decent chance to be used on Yantif, then you're allowed to make it on Yantif. When it doesn't stand a decent chance to be used on Yantif, one is not allowed to make it on Yantif. New Mishnah. Osin Maka, the last Mishnah in the Perek. Osin Maka Lagag Ulumar Pesas, Maisa Hedyot Avlo Maisa Uman. So halacha number one is that one is allowed to build a Maka, a fence, for a roof or for a porch or something like that, as a maisa, it's lavdafka what we would call a porch, but some type of area that's similar to what we would call a porch. Rashi writes, "Maklum arpez kozel ketana osnal et stavau shalifnei aalios." It's like a deck that you would go out on. Gedolos ke'en shi'yesh al sfasna rainus. So you're allowed to make a maka as long as it's only a maisa hedyo to make the maka and not a maisa uman to make the maka. The Ritva has an important comment over here. The Ritva writes that this maka that we're talking about, whenever we hear the word maka, we always think of the mitzvah of building a maka. You have a high area that's not properly fenced in, so you're not allowed to have a dangerous area in your house. Someone could hurt themselves, someone could fall, so you have a mitzvah to build a maka. So the Ritva says that this maka that we're talking about over here is not the maka of a sisa maka legagecha. It's not the maka of the mitzvah, because Marpesus is putter from the mitzvah of maka, and he quotes a sefri, he quotes a medrash that says as much, that it's pater, and if it were in a place where you're actually chayiv to build a makkah, then you would be allowed to do maisa uman also. You wouldn't have to rely on doing it maisa hedyot. You have a mitzvah, you have a requirement to build a makkah, and asay and a los asay. And furthermore, the Yerushalmi says there are mishnahs talking about a makkah of three tvachim for a gag and asar tvachim lemarpesas. If it's a gag that requires a makkah, then three tvachim would never suffice. Three tvachim is not nearly enough for a makkah. You certainly need a makkah of 10 tvachim for a gag. In the Bir Lacha, in Simon Tavkov Mem, he quotes the Ritva in this with this tremendous kula, because the kula is that if it actually is a makkah that you halachically are required to build, you're even allowed to do a maisu uman, because the other poskim don't discuss it at all, and they're not mechalik. So it seems that from the other poskim that even a makkah shel mitzvah you would not be allowed to make as a maisu uman. That it's only that this Mishnah applies to all makos, not just a makah of Rishus, even a makah shel mitzvah. But the Ritva is the only one that says explicitly. So it seems like it's a machlokas between the Ritva and other Rishonim. That's what the post can point out. That's what the Bir Halacha is driving at. When the Bir Halacha says that the other Rishonim are so same, the Ritva is the only one that's mefarish, he's trying to point out that the Mistama, the other Rishonim disagree. Good, so it turns out in Chol HaMoed, it's also to build a makkah that's maisu uman, so you have to build it with what the Gemara is going to define as a maisa hedyot. In the Moed Muzmanim, Rav Sturmbach writes in Chel Zayin Sim Kufnun Vav, he wonders that since there's a chiyuv at all times to make a makkah for your gag, so that's called the Tzarech HaMoed, no? Meaning it's not just something that you're going to need for later on. Every moment that you have a dangerous house, you have a mitzvah to build a makkah l'gagecha. So So why is it that Rov Rishonim assume that the requirement of only doing Maisa Hedyot applies even to a Makshal Mitzvah? L'chora, the Ritva makes a lot of sense. It's a Tzorach HaMoed, and therefore even Maisa Uman should be permissible. So the Rav Shurmach points out, probably what you have to say is that those Rishonim would assume that you're only allowed to, that you're only required to do Maisa Hedyot if you can do Maisa Hedyot in a way that would halachically satisfy the need for a Makkah. But if a Maisa Hedyot would not do the trick, then of course you would be permitted to do a Maisa Uman, because that's going to take precedence, the fact that you have a Tzorech HaMoed right now to build a Makkah. So, but be that as it may, the Ritva seems to assume that whatever this Marpeses is, whatever Marpeses is, it's Potter from Makkah. And that's why you're only allowed to do Maisa Hedyot, not Maisa Uman. So the Poskim discuss, what about a balcony, Bismanenu? Is that Potter from Makkah? Meaning the Ritva assumes that it seems that it's Potter from Makkah. So the Chaznish writes that the Gzustraos Shel Alios, when there's no base Dira underneath them, they're not Chayiv B'Makkah Min Adin, like a Gag that has no base Dira under it, and or like a ramp or something like that. And his rise from the Ritva in our Sugya that we're not talking about a Makkah Shel Mitzvah. Why isn't it a Makkah Shel Mitzvah? Because there's nothing underneath it. There's no living quarters underneath it. So just to explain this idea, the Tshuvas Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner, in Chelek Zayin Simen Reish Chav Tes, points out that the mitzvah of Makkah is only when you have two qualifications. That it's Regilim Lahalech Bo, it's a place where people go all the time, and Shadarimbo, that there are people that live in that area. Anytime that it's not somewhere that people live, even if people sometimes go there, people go there all the time, it's not Chayiv in the mitzvah say of Makkah, but you still have the losasei. You still have the losasei of losasim dam that you're not allowed to have a dangerous area. So he says, a gag beis haknesses, even though it's not chayiv the mitzvah sasei of Makkah because no one lives there, but it is chayiv b'Makkah because of the shmira, because of the losasei of losasim damim. Omar Peses, that the Ritva writes that it's the hemshich of the madregos achitonos, the outer stairs where people go into the houses from, is not a makom dira, it's a makom hiluch, and therefore it's not chayiv in the Makkah, it's only chayiv in a din shmira, but not in the din Makkah. So in a situation where you have a balcony that people use for normal living, so it would seem that would fit both requirements. It's a place where people go all the time, and it's a place that's part of the person's house. A person is looking at a house, and they look at the porches and the balconies, as certainly in Eretz Yisrael, where the porch is like it's like an extra room in the house. They use it all the time. The climate's a little different there. It's not just a couple of months out of the year. So that's certainly something that would require a proper makkah. So the sugya of makkah is a somewhat lengthy and complicated sugya, but at least that's the basics, the way Rav Vosner explains that shita of the Chazanish. Okay, so further in the Mishnah, so that was one halacha, that you make a makkah of maisa hedya, but not a maisa uman. Halacha number two in the Mishnah, shafen es hasdakin, umagilin osam b'magila b'yad of regal, that you're allowed to smooth over the cracks in an oven by taking the roller to roll over some tar to smooth it out, or to whatever's going to fill in the cracks. You could do that biyad uv regel, but not b'machlatzim. What's that? Rashi says, eitz ke'ein regel. It's a piece of wood that's like a regel, shadochko b'maziva listam astak, and it's used also to close up the cracks, and that's more of a maisa uman than just using a ma'agila. Whatever the ma'agila is, like a wooden, to roll a wooden round pressing against the walls of the oven, but mechlatzim apparently requires a little more of a maisa uman. Third halacha of the Mishnah, hatsir, vatsinor, vakora, vaminol, vamafteach, all the different parts of a door, the pivot of the door, the hinge of the door, the beam that's on top of the door, the lock of the door, the key of the door, shenishbru, if they get broken, misakvin b'moed, ubulvad shlo yiskavin lasos melachta b'moed. You're allowed to fix them in chol moed, but what you can't do is, if it breaks 3 weeks before chol moed, say, I don't have time to do it now, I'll do it on chol moed when I'm not working anyway. That's called lachol mechavin lachta lemoed. One is not allowed to do that. And the final halacha in the Mishnah, v'kol kvashin shuyach lechol men b'moed kovshan. Anything that you're going to soak in brine that you will be ready to be eaten on moed, so you're not going to have to wait till after moed to eat it. You're allowed to be kovish them. You're allowed to prepare it on chol moed itself. So four disparate halachos in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah goes back now to the first halacha. So we said that you're allowed to build a fence for your marpesas, for your gag, but only in Maisa Hedyot. Hechidami Maisa Hedyot. How do we define Maisa Hedyot in terms of fence building? So Rav Yosef Amar Behutzav Dafna, Rav Yosef says, by using more flimsy materials, B'masnisa Tana Tsar B'Tsrar Veinu Tach B'Tit. Now you can pile rocks on top of each other, just don't cement them together. So you're not using flimsy materials, you're just putting them together in a flimsy way. But either one of those ways of building a fence, or these are two possible two opinions in terms of what's called a Maisa Hedyot. Doing it properly with strong materials in a strong way would be a Maisa Uman. Shafenes Hastak in Magilin Osan B'Magila. So the Mishnah went on to say that you're the second halacha of the Mishnah, that we can close up the cracks in an oven. So Hashab Magila Amrit Shari Biyaru Bregel Mibai. So we already said you're allowed to use Magila, which means you're allowed to use a specialized kli that helps you close up the cracks. So you need to then tell me that you're allowed to use Yad V'Regel, that you could do it with your hands and with your feet. Shouldn't that be obvious? Meaning, if even a Magila is not considered a Maisa Uman, for sure Yad V'Regel is not going to be considered a Maisa Uman. Hachi Ka'amar. The Gemara answers, no, this is what we mean to say in the Mishnah. Shafenes Hastakun Magila Nosan Ke'ein Ma'agila B'Yad V'Regel. It's not talking about using an actual Magila. It means trying to achieve the same result that this Kli, this specialized Kli, would achieve, but you're doing it B'Yad V'Regel. But don't use another kli that's a more specialized kli. So kein magila means not using magila mamish. It's just that you're using yad v'regel kein magila, and that's how we answer up the Mishnah. Hatzir v'atzina v'akora v'aminol v'amavtech shenishbru musaklim b'moed. All the different parts of a door that break, you're allowed to fix them on yom on chol moed. Ureminhi, so ask the Gemara, I'll ask a stira ad yamav haya patish makav b'Yerushalayim. We're told that up until the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, you could hear hammers banging in Yerushalayim and Chol HaMoed, and then Yochanan Kohen Gadol came along and was gozer that one cannot use hammers in Chol HaMoed, and they were mevatel the use of hammers to fix things on Chol HaMoed. So ad yam of in mikan ve'ilach lo, it was only until the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol where things were being fixed, where carpentry was being done on Chol HaMoed. After the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, it was no longer permissible to do carpentry on Chol HaMoed. So how can our Mishnah say that you're allowed to fix a doorpost and the door frame and the pivot and the hinge and all the different parts of the door? That's carpentry. So the Gemara is going to have four answers to try to answer this question. Some we accept, some we reject. First answer, lo kasha. Kan bidinavchi, kan bidinagri. There are different types of hammers. There are hammers that are used to bang metal and hammers that are used to bang wood. The ones that deal with metal, the blacksmith's hammer, are much louder than the carpenter's hammer. So the blacksmith's hammer is the kol that you wouldn't hear in Yerushalayim anymore after Yochanan Kohen Gadol. But the carpenter's hammer, that you would still hear, and that's what's necessary to fix a door. Mask Rav Chista, yomru kala rabba asir, kala zutu shari. Rav Chista says that's illogical. It's about the noise. It's about the malacha. Everyone's going to think that it all depends. It's all about it's all about noise pollution. That's what this whole halacha is about. Can't be. Ella Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista suggests a second answer. Lo kasha habi magli habi chatzini. That there's a difference between a larger nail and a smaller nail, meaning a bigger job and a smaller job. The bigger jobs are problematic. The smaller jobs are less problematic. Rav Papa Amar kan kodem gzeira kan liachar gzeira. Rav Papa says, a third answer, that we just said that Yochanan Kohen Gadol made a gezeira. So maybe when our Mishnah was saying that you're allowed to repair certain things, it's talking about before that gezeira was ever in place. Once the gezeira was in place, so in a chinami it became aser. Fourth answer, Rav Ashi Amar, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Yossi. It's actually a machlokas tanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi does not require shinoi for a davra aved, and our Mishnah, which therefore permits which permits using the hammer is without a shinoi is Rabbi Yossi. With Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdim, Dabar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdim, man tan a shinoi b'moed b'davra aved, delok Rabbi Yossi. Who requires a shinoi on chol moed for a davra aved? Not Rabbi Yossi. Amar Ravina keman madlin neidna kavusa d'dasha b'chol d'moada keman k'Rabbi Yossi. When we repair parts of a door on chol moed nowadays without any sort of shinoi, so whose opinion are we following? We're following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that's reflected in our Mishnah that is 100% permissible. Kvashin shu yachol echol b'moed kovshan. The Mishnah, the fourth halacha of the Mishnah, was about pickling or soaking in brine on chol moed. So Badisa l'bayu kavras. The Gemara tells a story that there was one time an overflow of a river, and then when it dried up, there were a lot of fish that had washed ashore. It was like when we had Sandy over here walking. I remember walking the next morning down the street, down University. The whole street was full of fish from Doxy Pond that had overflowed. So they had this. So we weren't so happy about that. But in this town, that the Gemara is talking about, there was this overflow of the river, and it was what a boon. They had all this fish that they could eat now. That was just readily available for them to pick up. But it happened to have been chol moed. Azul kulial matzod aisu kavra. Everyone didn't ask first. They right away they went and they grabbed the fish and they brought all the fish home. Now they had all this fish. What are they going to do? They didn't have refrigeration or freezers. What are they going to do with all the fish? Sharlu Rava l'mimlach minayu. Rava allowed them to salt all of it as a way of preserving the fish, meaning they're not going to be able to eat it all in chol moed. So he allowed them to salt it to preserve it. But didn't the Mishnah say that you're only allowed to be kovish, you're only allowed to put it in brine if you're going to be able to eat it on chol moed? But anything that's beyond what you can eat on chol moed, you're not allowed to do. So Rava answered, kivin de meikara daita da achilai sinu v'yishavaglu pasti kiprakmatia avidami v'shari. Since when they originally brought it, they had planned on eating it, and if they would leave it there, it's going to get lost. So it's like prakmatia that they have that's going to be a big loss to them, and that's a davar aved, and that's mutter. Meaning that I would not have told them to take it in the first place. But once it's in their house, it's already theirs. Something that you already own to not take care of and not preserve is going to be a big loss. That would be considered a davra aved. The ikada amri, but another version of the story is shari luhu rava meitzad meizel aisu asuye umimlach. Rava allowed them to go and gather it in the first place. They did ask a shayla right away when the river overflowed, and they said, "Are we allowed to take this fish?" And Rava said, "Take as much as you need. Go take as much as you want." Amar le abayva anantanan kvashon shu yachol echol mehen b'moed kov shantanan. But doesn't it say in the Mishnah that only if you're going to be able to eat it on chol moed? Amalei hani mili misachli agav itzitza. That's haninami rather misachli agav itzitza. These fish also can be eaten if you squeeze out the extra salt from them, and then they'll become edible. So technically, they can all be eaten on chol moed. Ki ad Shmuel avdu leshisin itzi va'achal. Like Shmuel, where he did 60 times of squeezing out the salt from the fish, and then he was able to eat the fish. And the Gemara just concludes this story of Rava with another story. Rava iklal beresh kalusa avdi leshisin itzi va'achal. When Rava went to the beresh kalusa, they were able to take the fish out of the brine and squeeze it, and they were able to eat it. Rava iklal lebe rav shafir aisu lekamayu ahu kavra tilsa bishula tilsa milcha v'tilsa tavia. And they brought him fish that was 1/3 cooked, 1/3 salted, 1/3 roasted. But the point is that it was tilsa milcha agav itzitza. Rashi points out that they did this special preparation of this salted fish. So Rava's point is that the reason they're allowed to gather it and salt it all is because it's all technically something that could be eaten on chol moed. Now, it sounds like, according to the first Lashon, Rava would not allow them to gather the fish for an achar hamoed tzarech, for something that they're only going to need for later on. It's only that which they already took la'achila, that's a tzarech hamoed, and it was left over, so now they're allowed to be melech, so that they don't lose it. According to the Lishna Basra, he allows them to take it in the first place. How do we paskin? So in Shulchan Aruch, Tavkuf Lam Gimel, Siv Dalid, Tzad Adam Dagim Kol Mashi Yuchal Latzud U'maleach HaKol B'moed. You're allowed to both take it and bring it home and be Malach as much as you can on Moed, on the Chol HaMoed itself. Sounds like we paskin like the second Lashon. The Mukhi Yosef explains the reason you're allowed to, that it's Mutal Limloach HaKol B'Moed, because each one, when you're Malach, you could say, this is the best Chaticha, this is the best piece of fish. And it says, such a Haramos Mutti. You could say, this is the one I'm going to want to eat, this is the one I'm going to want to have Dafka for Yantif, and such a Haramos Mutti to do on Chol HaMoed, and even on Yantif, you're allowed to do such a Haramah. The Magen Avraham just raises the question that we don't allow grinding more grain than you need, and saying, well, maybe this is better flour than the other flour. We don't allow such a Haramah. Why do we allow the Haramah by the fish? So he says that there are two heterim, that the heter tzedo, we say that maybe he'll find a better dug. When it comes to the actually gathering the fish, so he's allowed to continue fishing, he's allowed to continue looking for more fish, because then maybe he'll talk to find a better fish. But that would not help for the salting of fish that you already have, because you already know what you have by the time you get to the salting of the fish. So for that you have to say that since the whole din of Malicha is only din to Rabbanan, because Mekra din, there's no Kavisha ba'ochlim, so they were matir the harama to say that each one you might be the one you decide to eat. But the first step of Tzad, where it's a real Malacha, it can't be such a transparent harama. It needs to be something that where you can actually have a chance of finding something that's actually going to be better. The Rush raises an interesting point over here. The Rush, in the very last comment that he has in the Perek, points out the Hiksha Rivedzel, that the Rivet has a problem. The Lishna Kamalo Sharina Nel Lot Sodom La Achila, Ulubishan Basu Nami Lo Sharina Lot Sodom Lamloach, El Kshiacholechome and Bemoed. That he points out the difference between the first Lashon and the second Lashon, but he says, I don't understand. Umaishna Mehai the Goros Bushalmi, Yaakov Baracha Bishem Rabiosi, Adosha Yarta, Shari Lemizban Mina Bemoada, Alma avure rav chaminayu pseidahu, that if you have extra wares to sell, and if you don't sell them now, you're not going to be able to sell them, you're allowed to sell them in Chol HaMoed because it's a davra aved. So v'hachanami, aval gav delomis achli, so we are also by the fish, even though you have no chance of eating them, lishterim, yishum ravcha, you should be allowed to sell them, because apparently loss of profit is considered a davra aved. When it comes to selling items that you have for your business, loss of profit, the inability to sell them is considered a davar aved. You have all these fish, isn't that also called a davar aved? Why isn't it called a davar aved? So first the Rush says that maybe a mitzia is different than that which you purchased for the sake of your business. You bought pragmatia in order to sell, so that's an investment that you made. If you lose that, that's mamish a davar aved. But you get lucky that the river overflowed and left you with a bunch of fish, that's a mitzia. That's hard to call a davar aved if you don't end up being able, if you end up unable to sell it. Inami ad kano sharina mishum ravcha ela mekach umemker shu derech chaladam lo mikri melacha v'gam leka tircha avo melichas dagim mikri melacha v'ika tircha lo sharina lo mishum ravcha. Second chalik the Rosh says is mekach umemker is not melacha. We're going to allow doing mekach umemker because it's not a melacha that you're allowed to do, even if it's just to make money, because failure to be able to make money is called the davar aved only in so far as it allows something that's not a malacha. So what is it exactly? Why is it different to do mekach umemkar than it is to do any other malacha? Is it also to do mekach umemkar on Shabbos and Yantiv? Yes. So why is it any different than a malacha? Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi in Simen Vav has a long piece where he goes through there are three types of Isurim on Shabbos and Yantiv. There's what we call malacha d'oraisa, there's malachas d'rabanan, and then there are gzeros d'rabanan. And he shows in many different areas where gzeros d'rabanan are different than malachos d'rabanan. Sometimes Rabbanan said, this is going to be put into the category of a malacha on a d'rabanan level. This activity is going to be called a malacha on a d'rabanan level. And sometimes they ask us, I mean, not because it's a malacha. What malacha are you doing with mekach umemkar? It's not a malacha of any sort, but they made a gezeira lest you come to do a malacha or lest you come into some other halachic problem. So, for example, nigun b'kli shir b'chol ha-shamoed, most poskim are makel to play music on chol ha-moed. Our Rush that says that the chachamim asered prakmati, they asked Masr business, but it's not a Malacha. Tosefta in the second parak of Moed Katan says that certain potions and medications you're not allowed to take on Chol HaMoed until Rabbi Akiva came along and said that you are allowed to take them on Chol HaMoed. The Darkei Moshe in Aruch Chaim Sim Tavkuf Mem Dalet says Tiltul Muktza is Mutar on Chol HaMoed. All these things are normally Aser. Why would they become Mutar on Chol HaMoed? The Raman, Tavkuf Lamed Vav, and the Magen Avraham over there in Mishabura, we discussed yesterday to ride on an animal, the Wipaskin is Mutar on Chol HaMoed. Why is it Mutar on Chol HaMoed? So Rav Shechter explains that all of these things are Gezeros. That which we ask on Chol HaMoed is only Melachos Rabbanan. He says, based on that, we can understand the Minhag HaOlam that anyone ever concerned about Hotza'ah on Chol HaMoed? Why is it, Hotza'ah is a Melacha? Why are people carrying things all over the place on Chol HaMoed, even when it's not Tzarech HaYom? No one checks to make sure that they don't have tissues in their pocket or anything like that, even in places where there is no air. When it's Yontif, so we're not makpid about things that are not Tzarech HaMoed because we live in communities where there's an Erev. But on Chol HaMoed, we're traveling all over the place. We're walking. So Rosh Hashanah says, maybe the pshat is that we're working with the assumption that there's no Rosh Hashanah Ram Daraisa B'zman Hazeh, so the whole thing is a Karmelis, and maybe we assume carrying in a Karmelis is not a Malacha D'Rabbanan, but a Gezerah Rabbanan, and therefore it doesn't apply on Chol HaMoed. So it would be a chap of big nachgamina if a person is walking in a place that they believe is a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa. If you walk in Manhattan with items that are not at all Litzorach HaMoed, so but I don't know what he would say about that. But that's how he tries to justify this minhag. Okay, now the parak concludes with four statements of Rava about fish in general. So number one, Amar Rav. Amrli adat sayada kavra samuch lemisruchei mali. So first one is the one that gets the most attention in the Rishonim, that adat sayada told me, says Rav, that a fish right before it spoils, that's when it's most delicious, that's when it's healthiest, that's when it's best. You got to catch it right before it turns completely spoiled. So Tosfos points out, don't try this at home. That is not a good idea. If you eat fish right before, right as it's turning, that's usually a bad thing. He says, we assume that that's a sakana to eat it right before it spoils. And also we'll see another one that we're about to say, to have it with water, we're going to assume is dangerous, but he's going to say that it's a really good thing. So Tosfot says, I have two possibilities of why this advice doesn't work anymore. First possibility is that things changed. The Nishtana Ateva, and it's just like all of the medical advice Chazal give you. You can't listen to the medical advice Chazal give you, because you'll kill yourself if you listen. If you do brain surgery by opening up a Gemara Ksuvis and following where to put the leeches and where to, you know, to do the brain surgery exactly the way the Gemara describes it, as the Rav Rambam and Rambam writes, someone who tries to rely on the refuels of Chazal, dumb of Barosho. He's taking his life into his own hands, and he's it's like committing suicide. So that, just like that's obviously true, says Tosos, he takes it as an obviously true. So too, this change, it's Nishtana Teva. Second possibility, Tosos says, is maybe the rivers of Bavel are different, and maybe the fish, therefore, are different in Bavel than they are where we live. So where we live, it's a different type of fish. We're not going to rely on this. And then he says a third possibility is maybe this kavra is a different it doesn't refer to fish in general. It refers to one specific type of fish which we can't identify, and therefore we can't try this because we have so many different types of fish we don't know which one is kavra. Even though typically we translate kavra as fish in general, he says maybe it's referring to something specific to one type of fish. Ve'amar Rav, we'll come back to that in a moment, but Ve'amar Rav, Rav's second statement, Amali Adat Sayada, Kavra Tavya Ba'achua, the fish should be roasted in its brother, meaning in salt, because it grows together with in salt water. Asuke ba'avua, it should be cooked together with water. And michli bibrei, and should be eaten with its son, which is the fish brine. Ishti ale avua, and then you should drink with it, or right after it, you should drink its father. And again, its father is the water, because that's where the fish grew up in the water. Va'amar, the fish was able to develop in the water. Third statement of Rav, Va'amar Rav, Amar Li Adat Sayada, Kavra Tachli V'Chalva, Fish cress and milk, liton gufa velo liton purya. You should carry your body, but not burden your bed. Meaning, after you eat these things, walk around, do something. Don't go to bed, because going to bed right away after you eat these things is dangerous. It's not healthy. Fourth thing, when you eat these three items, again, fish, cress, and milk, so you should have water and not beer, shichra velo chamra. But better to have beer rather than to have wine after eating these items. In the Hagos, so all of these things, Tosa says, are no longer viable advice. They're not something that we would view as something that's particularly healthy. The Hagos Hashri says that it's dafka mayim shegadol behem, that when we talk about cooking it with water and eating it and drinking the water, it's only talking about the water that it was gadol behem. It's avua, that we use the term avua, its father, meaning it has some connection to the fish. In Chiddush Rabbi Akiva Eiger on Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the halacha, what Tosla says, that it's sakana to drink water after eating fish, and that's what the Aruch HaShulchan Kaf HaChaim write as well. Kesef Mishnah says that the Refuos and Hanhagas Malchus Bavel, where the Chachmei HaGemara lived, is Mishunu Mishara Aratzos. It's different than other places, like the second day of Tosos, that it really depends on the location where you live and where these fish come from, and therefore he says it's not advisable to drink water right after having fish. So in Shar Mitzyana Ba'alacha and Simulam Beis, he says it could be that's why the Minhag Olam is to drink schnapps after we eat fish, because according to the Gemara, you're not supposed to drink shichra or chamra. So those were the options. It was beer, it was wine, or it's schnapps. So they would drink schnapps rather than having beer or wine. Meaning the halacha, when there is assumed to be a sakana between fish and meat, is that you're supposed to wash your mouth out with something. That you're supposed to drink something and eat something solid. So I always assumed the reason that the minhag was to use schnapps was because that's going to wash your mouth out the best. That's the most potent in terms of washing your mouth out. He says, maybe that's the reason why it's true that that's what you're supposed to drink, but you're not supposed to drink wine or beer after every fish. Maybe that's why the minhag developed that people have schnapps dafka, yayin saruf, after eating fish. Okay, could be. Hadruach mashkin b'yis ha-shlachin. That's the end of the first parak of Maseches Moed Katan. So moving on to the second parak. Mi shahafach ha-zesav. If a person had his olives ready for pressing, he had them all out there on the Beis Habad to take the oil out of them, v'iru evel, and then all of a sudden he became an avel. And we're not talking, Rashi points out, that with these two words, viru evel, we're not talking about on Cholamoed or anywhere near Yantif time or anything like that. Stam, during the rest of the year, he became an avel when he had olives ready to go. He had unfinished work, and all these olives are going to be ruined if he's unable to press them. Oh, or in the case of Yantif, ones oshetu paalim, some ones happened, or workers didn't show up, and therefore he had olives all ready for pressing, and now Yantif came and he was unable to press them before Yantif. So is there anything he could do to salvage the situation so that these olives won't get ruined and destroyed? Toin kura rishona umanich alachar moed of Rabbi Yehuda. He should do the first pressing. There are multiple pressings in order to get the best olive oil, but he can do the first pressing, and then that should hold them over till after Yantif, so that they won't be totally destroyed. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer zolei fagomer v'gav kedarko. He can run it through the whole processing of making the olive oil and package it and do whatever is necessary to prepare the olive oil as he normally would. So Rabbi Yehuda allows doing something. Rabbi Yossi allows doing a lot more. Pasach ba'avol v'siyem b'moed. But wait a second. We said that Rabbi Yehuda says manicha liachar hamoed, which makes it sound like we're only commenting on the second halacha, the second case. We had two cases. We had a case of Iru Evel, where he became an Avel, and that had nothing to do with Moed. And then we had a case where a Yantif came, and there was an Ones, or the workers didn't show up, or something like that. But on the halacha, where we say what the halacha is, we say that you could do the first pressing and leave it for after Moed. What about for leaving it for after the Avelus, in case number one, in the case of Iru Evel? How come it doesn't say anything about that? Gemara has two approaches. Amr Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi, Zos Omeres, Dvarim HaMutarim B'Moed, Asurim B'Mei Avlo. That which is Mutar on Moed is Asur while a person is in Avelus. Meaning, Enochinami, that which Rabbi Yehuda allows, he only allows on Moed. He would not allow an Avel to do the first pressing of the olives in order to salvage those olives. He would not allow it for an Avel, only on Chol HaMoed, which is surprising given the second answer. Rav Ravashi, Amar Ravashi says, no, it's the exact opposite. Lomi bayi ka amar. The Mishnah is written in the style of Lomi bayi, that Lomi bayi be may evlo dimidraban nu vishari. You don't even need to say that during the days of Avelus, where the whole Isra of doing malacha is only drabanan, the Isra of malacha for an avil, even if you hold Avelus is daraisa. The Isra of malacha for an avil is only an Isra drabanan, so that for sure we're going to be makel and we're going to allow him to do that. Ela filu b'moe, the Isra malacha daraisa b'makum seda shari rabanan. Even on Chalamoed, where the Isra malacha on Chalamoed is daraisa, so makum seda, it's going to be mutter. So two issues with that line right there. First of all, the first answer of the Gemara was that Zosim Erzvamar Matar Mamoed Asur Bimeyevlo. Assuming that the first answer agrees that Cholamoed is Asur Midaraisa and Melechan for an Avel is Asur Midrabanan, then why should that be true? Why should things that are mutter on Cholamoed be Asur Bimeyevlo if Cholamoed is Daraisa and Isra Melechan for an Avel is only Drabanan? So that's a question that the Rishonim asked. Tosfos on Yud Beis Amud Aleph explains that Adraba, since Avelus is Drabanan, that's why the Chacham more choshesh a person is going to be mezalzel. Meaning sometimes we say that we're more strict because a din is a din d'araisa, so we're going to be more strict with it. And sometimes we say, no, we dafka need to be more strict with the din of the Rabbanan because there's more of a concern that people are not going to listen to the din. Tells the Dibur Maskel Amar. The Rush explains that since Velus is only the Avel that's Asr b'malacha, everyone else is allowed to do the malacha, so we're machmir, we asr on the Avel certain things because he could do it beheter al yidei acherim. He has another option. Let someone else take care of it for you. Why do you have to be the one to do it? But in Chol HaMoed, all of Klal Yisrael is in the same boat when it comes to Chol HaMoed. There is no other option, so we need to be more mekel. Meaning, the level of dechak, the level of the situation is a much more pressing situation when it comes to Chol HaMoed than when it comes to an avel. So it's not about the relative severity of the halachos or the concern about the observance of the halachos. It's just about how much of a shas hadchak is it really. That's how the Rush answers. The second issue over here is the Gemara, there's a massive machlokas rishonim, whether melechas Chol HaMoed is asa daraisa or asa drabanan. It should be an open and shut case. Here we have the iser afilu b'moi the iser malacha mi de oraisa. It says explicitly in the Gemara that the iser malacha is daraisa. So Rashi says, yeah, it's exactly right. The iser malacha is daraisa and chalamoid, and he has psukim that we derive it from. And Tosa says, you see, according to Rashi, the iser malacha moed is daraisa. Tosfos himself say that from the Gemara in Arasugya that allows doing the Malacha on Moed on Davra Aved and other things that we allow in Arasugya, it sounds that it's only Drabbanan. I mean, Tosfos takes our whole Sugya and says, why are we allowing all these things in Chol HaMoed? It must be that it's only Drabbanan. But our very Gemara says it's Nisa Daraisa. Yeah, Tosfos says when it says that, when it quotes Psukim and when it says Daraisa, it means Asmachta. Even when it says Daraisa, it only means Asmachta. It means that there's some source in the Torah for it. It's Ke'en Daraisa, because it has a smach min haTorah. The Yisr Malacha, and during Avelus also has an asmachta, also has a pasuk in the Torah, we're going to see later on in Daf Tezvav. So Tos says, nevertheless, by Moed, the asmachta is from a pasuk in the Torah, by Avelus, the asmachta is from a pasuk in Nach. So that's why we call it Daraisa, because this is an asmachta from the Torah. Tanya Kavasid Rav Shish Bred Ravidi, we have a riot Rav Shish Bred Ravidi. He was the first opinion that said that things that are mutar moed are asr b'me'evlo, el dvar ma'osin la'avel b'me'evlo, the following thing we do for an avel during his avelus, zeisav avuchin taron lo. When you have olives that are ready for pressing, you're allowed to deal with them. If you put them in the base of bad, you're allowed to put the beam on top of them to press them the first time. Not that he's allowed to do it, we're allowed to do that for him, and that's the riot to Rav Shishi. Rav Shishi says things that are mutar and chalamayda are usher for an avel to do. He's not allowed to do it. Someone else has to do it for him. And that's it. That's the riot to Rav Shishi. But we're going to just quote the whole brayso, and that's pretty much going to take up the rest of the shir. If he has a barrel to seal or flax to take out of the soaking pool, or wool to take out of the dyeing pot, and we can also water his field, when it comes his turn to water the fields, because everyone in the Bikka would go on a rotation and they'd water all the fields of the entire Bikka so that everyone didn't have to water their own field each day. They would just go on a rotation. So when his turn came up, we could do that for him. We can even plant in an already pre-plowed field so that we take advantage of the opportunity for him, that he doesn't lose out, or a sod that's ripe for pishtan. Amr lo, So the Chum said, nah, that's already too much. Because let him plant a little bit later. He's saying it won't be as good, but it will still be salvageable. And if he can't plant Pishtun, because now's the season for Pishtun, so he'll plant something else when his Avelus is over. We don't have to do that for him. Let's say his olives are ready, and he's the only one that knows how to press olives. He's the only one that knows how to package things. He's the only one that knows how to take the flax out of the pool and the dyeing of the wool. Then he could do a b'tzina. But if he has a job where he's needed by the public, he's a barber, he's a bathhouse attendant that takes care of the community needs, and it comes time for Yantav, and he's the only one who's able to do these things, Hareze Yasad, then he's allowed to do them. Ha'arisin v'achakirin v'akablonin harelu yasu achirin b'shvilan. People who have sharecropping arrangements in fields, they should have other people do it for them. Ha'chamarin v'agamalin v'asapanin Hare lo yasu. Donkey drivers and camel drivers and sailors should not do their work. If they are rented out to someone else, hare elu yasu, then they're allowed to do their work. A schir yom, someone who's a day laborer, even to work in another city, he's not allowed to do, where no one knows him. If he has someone else's work in his hands to do, so then he's not allowed to do it at all, regardless of what the arrangements is. What kind of comment is that? It's afal pisha b'kibolas, even though the people have given it to him to pay and paid him X amount of money to do the job, and that implies, and for sure, if he's not being paid by the job, adrab kibolas kididei dami, when he's being paid by the job, that's more like his. Ela'ema bein kibolas bein sheina kibolas lo yasa. That whether it's the arrangements be kibolas or not, he's not allowed to do it. Okay, we're falling a little short of the end of the daf. Alicia, I apologize. It's giving a shir tomorrow. We'll pick up on Sunday.